This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell, Mike. I'm doing. We're gonna do props basically for Broncos Giants coming up, and I'm just gonna ask you. I'm gonna give you a stat line or stat, an interesting stat. Let's decide whether we think whether this is gonna happen in a big game coming up against the Giants. Bo Nix, Michael. So far through six games this season, Bo has not had a game where he has thrown for more than three touchdowns. He threw three against the Indianapolis Colts. Buy or sell, Bo Nix throws four touchdown passes against a Giants defense that's pretty good at stopping the run. So maybe we see some passing here. Or do you think it's the other way around where the Broncos really commit to that rushing attack?
I think Bo throws three in this, as you said, big game.
It's a big game.
Giants.
A big game. A game where we want to start seeing it with Bo. Four touchdowns against the Giants defense would be pretty darn good.
I'd like to see five.
I'd like to see six.
I'd like to see seven.
We could do this forever.
I'd like to see a record-breaking
thing. Well, I want to see that. That's the okay, so on the record-breaking thing, we're talking about the Broncos. Can they break the team season sack record? Which is, what did I say, 72? Is it 72?
Yes, they can. I don't think can. I think it will.
Jackson Dart, in his games this year, his three games, he's been sacked eight times. He was sacked five times against the Chargers, once against the Saints, and two times against the Eagles. I'm going to go kind of in the middle there. Will the Broncos get to... Well, let's go... Yeah, he's been sacked five times in the game. Will the Broncos get to five? Five sacks on Jackson Dart this weekend.
At least.
So you think this team's just teeing off?
Yeah,
they're going to tee off on Jackson Dart.
They're going to have to make some... Like, he's going to have to go a lot of slants.
How many of those will go to Nick Benito? How many sacks for Nick Benito?
They're going to double-team him, so I think just one.
I think Jonathan Cooper's going to have a big game. He's talking a big game. Jonathan Cooper's talking a big game, Mike. He was talking about Jackson Dart, and he's like, hey, we can't let this dude build confidence early. He was asked, like, hey, you know, what do you think so far of the young quarterback for the Giants? Said, we play one of the best quarterbacks twice a year, every single year. So once you go against that, you kind of get a feel of the game, and you know what you need to do. You have to make this guy, him, feel uncomfortable in the pocket. Can't let him get that confidence and that ego going. We just have to take care of it, Cooper said after the Broncos practice on Wednesday. Jonathan Cooper might just go off in this game, Mike.
Yeah, just make sure he can't throw any accurate passes.
Okay, how about this one? RJ Harvey, who I'm desperate to see more of, outside of the 14-carry game he had against the Cincinnati Bengals, he has not had a game where he's carried more than six times. Buy or sell, RJ Harvey gets 10 carries in this game.
Sell.
Yeah. Why? Why aren't they? Why? What is the thought process there? And I'm like going to Sean Payton's brain. Why aren't we seeing more from RJ Harvey at this point? I get it. He's a rookie. We did the same thing with Estime, and then that went away. And
he had and then two Estime went away.
He had two carries against the New York Jets, Mike. Two.
I just don't. I don't know. I can't get into that brain. I can't get into that decision making. As I've said before, maybe he's seeing something in practice that he doesn't like. No idea. I just don't think R.J. Harvey's going to get the ball that much, probably four times.
So then what's the alternative? Are you going to is Jaleel McLaughlin, who got that key screenplay? Are we going to see him get the ball now?
I think they're going to just throw the ball in this game.
Is that good?
No. I'd like to see them commit like to the run more.
That's a lot you're throwing at Bo, man. That's a lot of pressure that you're starting to put on Bo Nix.
God damn it, run the dang ball!
It's frustrating, man. And if I keep reading these various reports that Sean Payton's an offensive genius and he just needs to slow down and do the go back to the basics, like, what have we seen that tells us that Sean Payton is a genius? And I know we're watching games differently than they watch their film, than when they sit down and they have their all 22 and they can sit down and watch position by position, and that's different. But I mean, man, sometimes it is, like I said, dude, it's not like a broken record. Sometimes it is as easy as what we're all saying. He wrote it on his play sheet last year, run the ball. And I'm not like crazy about saying, okay, yeah, J.K. Dobbins, let's just give him the ball 17, 20 times a game. I want to see a running back get the ball that much, but I also want to preserve J.K. Dobbins. And I think part of that is saying, rookie, we're going to see what you got. Now's the time to do it. Wouldn't you much rather know that R.J. Harvey's a weapon 5 weeks from now rather than, J.K. Dobbins historically does this. He's out for 4 weeks. Now you got to go with R.J. Harvey. Wouldn't you rather do that now? I'd say you give him 10 carries. Just write it down on your play sheet. No matter what it looks like, we got to give this dude 10 carries. We got to give him an opportunity. That's what I'd like to see.
Maybe he's playing 3-4-5 dimensional chess. And we're only playing checkers.
Wizard's chest. Is that what that is? Wizard's chest. Brady, with the large menu, Sean only gets through the appetizer entrees before getting to the main entrees. the main menu should call for, I got a potential two-headed beast here, two-headed monster with J.K. Dobbins and R.J. R.J. Harvey was a stud in college. You drafted him in the second round for a reason, Michael. So start showing me what this guy can do. I don't want to get 5 weeks down the season and we're sitting here saying, is RJ a player or not? Because you're going to need him. You're going to need him.
We're seeing our top two draft picks not playing as much.
Yeah, we're not hearing a lot of Jahdae Barron, are we?
And he's not shutting people down. He's just, you know, shutting the Gatorade bucket down.
Well, and, you know, there are some people who are like, I'd like to see Jahdae Barron get an opportunity at number two corner.
Maybe he's not as good.
Riley Moss is fine, right? At that.
Now, Jahdae may just be depth.
He's depth, and that was the idea that he would be, that he's going to be good down the road. Good nickel, good dime guy, and maybe he gets so good that he potentially starts passing up a guy like Riley Moss, but Riley Moss is not the problem. I mean, that's just natural. You're gonna throw at him a lot when you have a shutdown corner. I was listening to a podcast the other day. It's like the worst position, like the hardest is quarterback. Second hardest position in all of the NFL or all of football is to play cornerback on the other side of a shutdown corner.
Harder than the defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Got your quarterback's back.
The left tackle?
Well, I mean, it could be the right tackle.
Yeah. You said defensive tackle.
I'm sorry.
That's
I meant the offensive tackle.
I just wanted to give
tackle.
You that opportunity to clear that up because I want people to know that you're not all Star Trek
and
Wizards chess.
The offensive tackle that has your quarterback's back,
yeah.
Be it left or right.
That's a tough position. I think playing corner is got to be so tough because you're backpedaling, man. And the receiver knows where they're going. Theoretically, you don't know where they're going, but to play opposite of a shutdown corner who is like that side of the field is gone. We're going to go at your side a lot more often.
Anyone who disagrees with that assessment, I believe, is absolutely wrong. Whoever said that to you is absolutely right. Whatever podcast that was on.
I don't remember.
Absolutely right. Hard to play cornerback.
Well, it's hard to play cornerback, but it's really hard when you got another dude that's shutting down everything on one side or whatever their top receiver is. Because the game plan is going to be, we're not going to go at Surtain. We're not going to take that chance unless we absolutely have to. We're going to go with the other guy because we like our chances there. Rightfully so. Riley Moss is not Patrick Surtain, so if I'm creating a game plan, I'm absolutely saying we're drawing up a lot to go at Riley Moss.
And it's even worse if your number two guy is hurt or your number three guy is hurt and you've got your number four guy out there. Now, he's slower than everybody else, and, well, you're just picking on that guy, and he's just not as good.
Faith says maybe Sean Payton also needs to write their names down in bold print right under run the ball he has on his play sheet. Yeah, I mean, I talked about this before. Like, Michael Malone forgot to put Aaron Gordon in a game once. So I do think it's possible for coaches to forget their dogs, to forget about who got them where they are. I do think that's all very, like, 100% possible. So just... I'm just curious, like, why is Sean Keeler's article yesterday in the Denver Post was about, or 2 days ago, was about how he believed Cam Scadabo's on this roster, he'd be a lot more fun than watching RJ Harvey. I don't disagree with that, but my question to Sean Keeler or Sean Payton would be, if it was Cam Scadabo, would he be getting the opportunities that he's getting with the Giants? Listen, Audric Estime just got cut yesterday, so it's not like Sean completely whiffed on... He whiffed drafting him, but it was a fifth-round pick.
Fifth round, yeah.
Whatever. But
Fifth-rounders are mostly whiffed.
We did kind of think that maybe he would be one of those hidden gems. But Keeler's article the other day, Broncos offense would be so much more fun to watch with Cam Scadabo instead of RJ Harvey at running back.
A lot of offenses would be more fun with Cam Scadabo.
If you could do it over again, would you take Cam in the second round?
Maybe. I mean,
if you could do it today instead of RJ Harvey,
would we still be running the same guy? Because if we'd be running the two running backs, then yes.
I mean, Cam was selected in the fourth round. Now, part of the reason they did that, and part of the reason when I said I'd like to see Cam in a Broncos uniform and I think he could be a second round pick, people thought I was crazy. But part of the reason people thought I was crazy is because of his style of running isn't really a long term thing, we think. Now, can he evolve as a running back? You know, as he gets a couple years into this league, he's going to realize he can't just drive in the sternum all the time. I mean, that guy's seeking contact. I mean, he is. I would not want to try to tackle that human. That would be devastating. That would be scary. This guy's 5'11", 215 pounds, pretty much all just bulk and muscle.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, it's all. Figured he'd be a little bigger. But it's just brute strength. He's a wrecking ball. But if you could pick, I'm not asking like to predict what Sean Payton would do with him. But if you could go back in time, Micah's little time machine that I'm sure you have built, made out of Legos, would you go back and take Cam Scadabo over RJ Harvey?
Maybe.
I would. Even though I know I've got 4 years of this. Maybe. Maybe three.
It would be a maybe if Sean Payton starts running the two running backs. You know, maybe RJ should go by Robert. I mean, maybe the issue is coach thinks he's calling the other guy, but he just has two running backs going by initials. He's like, okay, RJ, but he's getting them mixed up.
Faith says Cam's running also reminds me of Pacheco. Yeah, Isaiah Pacheco runs hard. I know that's a Chiefs guy, Michael, but if that guy looks like he to me, he looks like There's no reason he shouldn't have 100-plus yards every game. He just doesn't end up with it. But, man, he runs hard. And that's a dude that's been in the league a bit now, and he's still running it. He looks like he's on fire when he gets that football.
Somebody needs to Nigerian nightmare that guy.
He's I think he was drafted in 2022. He was a seventh-round pick. He's playing, this is his fourth year, and he still... His production wasn't what it was his first 2 years. He only played in 7 games last year. Yeah, those guys typically don't last. But, man, if you can get one and you think you're in a window, if you can get one of those guys for a 2-year stint to produce, they're getting you those tight yards, man. Those really difficult to achieve. Those third and ones, third and twos, they're getting you those yards.
You need the guy, though, that can not only like run you over, but also has like the moves of Chris Farley.
Go on.
I mean, because like he can bowl you over, but also he can like
Farley
embarrass you as you try to tackle him. Oh, yep.
Farley was a deceptive. He was a deceptive athletic big man. You watched him on his all of his Saturday Night Live skits. The dude was more active than I've ever seen any actor.
Yeah, I think some of it was the drugs, but. So maybe football players don't do drugs. But Jerome Bettis was pretty damn athletic.
Yeah, Bettis was
Mike Allstott could put some moves on people.
Mike Allstott. I thought we were going to get that with Peyton Hillis. Remember that year he had with... Was that... Correct me if I'm wrong. Was that Shanahan's last year?
It was one of his...
Because didn't McDaniels ship Peyton Hillis out? What is am I right on the timeline there? Because I felt like Hillis was one of the guys that McDaniels got out of there. Maybe I'm wrong, but Hillis had a good year with the Broncos. I think he got hurt, and then he went to Cleveland, tore it up his first year with Cleveland, did so good, right? He got on the cover of Madden. I think I'm right on this.
Peyton Hillis was with the Broncos from 2008 to 2009.
2008. So he just had that 1 year?
Yeah, he had the 2009 year Broncos and the 2010 year with the Browns. Last year in the NFL was 2014.
Yeah, he ran for almost 1,200 yards with the Browns in 2010. He had 11 touchdowns, and that got him on the cover of Madden. He was really good that year. Yeah, he was good. Dude, he also had 61 receptions for 500 yards and 2 touchdowns with Cleveland that year in 2010.
And then he held out, and his career was never the same.
And he went to the Chiefs, and he went to the Giants. And now, bottom line is those kind of guys you got for 2-3 years of really good production. And I would have if this is, you know, again, Cam seems like I loved him in college, man. The only reason I thought people maybe wouldn't draft him at that point was because of the reckless way he plays football. But, man, it's fun to watch. 23 minutes after the hour, Thursday night special. Mr. Thursday night returns. We're looking to get back into the win column here, get back over 500. We're not worried about it. We'll be fine. Steelers, Bengals. Let's get to that coming up next. Also, Kevin Lytle will join me. We'll talk some Colorado State Rams. We got Rams Weekly coming up at 2 today, so I'm looking forward to that. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
To the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Here's the story of a hole named Brady, who is also known as Mr. Thursday Night. He has great hair and likes to wear flannel. He has a dog named Bear. Every Thursday, he picks the winner. He's so smart, you'd think he probably went to Yale, maybe Harvard or Dartmouth College. He went to Cheyenne Wells. Tonight it's Aaron Rodgers versus Joe Flacco. As the Steelers and the Bengals have a fight, they're two old men playing against each other. Who will win? It's time to hear what's Brady's hunch. It's Brady's hunch. Mr. Thursday night, the world waits to find out Brady's hunch.
I was waiting for the Brady Bunch situation to make itself known from Brian Gary. Amazing job yet again from the Brian Gary. It's great work. And he has done phenomenal on these, by the way, Mike. They've just been second to none. But tonight, we put our focus now on Steelers, Bengals. The Steelers, according to ESPN, 5.5-point favorites. These are tough, man. It's a rivalry game. And Joe Flacco, I mean, he's 40 years old. Rodgers is 41. These guys got walkers out there playing in this game tonight. And I don't know. I'm just looking at the injury report, trying to stay up to speed on it. But Trey Hendrickson is listed as questionable tonight in this game. So that's a big one for the Bengals. Pittsburgh, I mean, Aaron Rodgers. Only 3 interceptions on the young season. 10 touchdowns. Over 1,000 yards. 68.8% completion percentage. It's been good. It's been really good. He's throwing the ball to DK Metcalf and Jaylen Warren out of the backfield. But you still, at the end of the day, I mean, Joe Flacco throwing to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Ja'Marr Chase is rocking. 42 receptions, 468 yards, 4 touchdowns, and T. Higgins, not quite those numbers. You got to think that's going to happen at some point. This is one of those weird games, Mike. Like, the Bengals are bad. Did they show some life against Green Bay last week? Maybe a little bit. This is, again, it's a rivalry game, and anything can happen on Thursday night. Pittsburgh, though, they've had a nice surprise to some. I didn't think it would be a surprise. I actually feel Rodgers is showing us. I still thought Rodgers had something in the tank. And this team is 4-1. Their only loss came to Seattle. Had a close game against the Jets to start the season. Beat New England, who looks like they might be much better. Beat Minnesota. Kind of took care of Cleveland. They're not great, though. That's my little concern here. They're not, like, this is not a really, really great football team. They're kind of just getting by. So could this be a close game? I'm having a really hard time with this one. So DraftKings says they're 5.5-point favorites. So that, well, it was 4.5. It's 5.5. The Steelers are. So, Mike, here's where we're going. Tonight, we get back in the win column. We get over 500. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers to cover the 5.5. You are welcome.
The weapons of tomorrow. Terrorizing our cities today. Now, to protect those who can't fight back, one man must stand up for the people and become a new breed of hero. With a will of iron, a heart of gold, and a body of steel.
It's hammer time.
Steel.
What'd you think of your first taste of AFC North ball?
I've been in the North for a long time, so I know what kind of football gets played in both the AFC North and NFC North, and this felt like it, a little overcast, windy, fields kind of tore up a little bit, but there's great rivalries in this North just like any other one, and happy to be a part of it.
Play action, Rodgers on time, Scarotic, touchdown!
touchdown! Fake the handoff. Rodgers under a rush. Wide open! Touchdown! Calvin Austin! Rodgers, timing route to the end zone. It's caught by Metcalf! Touchdown, Steelers!
That a baby, Michael. That a baby. Rodgers is no stranger to the North. Like, yeah, sure, it's AFC, NFC, but he's not going to have any issues tonight, Michael. Aaron Rodgers is going to go off tonight. Just watch. He's going to go crazy in this game. Yeah, I like it.
For the sake of my hatred for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I will be rooting against you.
You're rooting against me?
For the sake of my hatred for the Steelers.
It's disappointing. I'm disappointed. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. But there we go. Mr. Thursday Night is back, and I like the Steelers to cover.
Do you think anyone out there knows what that movie trailer goes to? Because that is, it's such a bad movie that I never saw.
What was it?
It's called Steel, and it's like one of Shaq's first and only movies.
Yeah. No, Shaq was in...
Luchas.
And also, was it Kazam?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Kazam, he was a genie. Dude, I might have watched that movie an irresponsible amount of times as a kid. I thought it was awesome.
Because you were a kid.
It was so good. Have not gone back and watched it as an adult, though, so I'm guessing Shaq being the lead role, probably not great. So I like Steelers covering the spread. You're welcome, everybody. We got a win tonight. Definitely need it. That'll do it. We got Kevin Lytle coming up next, talking all things Rams. We got Rams Weekly at 2 o'clock, so don't go anywhere. We got you covered. All things local sports talk. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, Kevin, I always ask because he comes in right after the Thursday night special. Of course, I'm Mr. Thursday Night. Going with the Undertaker theme because of Aaron Rodgers. He's basically 90. We're going to go with the Undertaker theme. I like the Steelers to cover 5.5, Kevin. How do you feel?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
You like
sure.
it?
Yep. I have no thoughts on this game other than I'm not going to watch because I don't care about this game.
You going to watch some Mavs tonight?
I'm going to watch some Mavs and some baseball.
Well, there you go. I mean, you got your options so now. I mean,
in my mind, I get big fan base for Pittsburgh and whatnot, but this is just not an interesting football game to me.
Pittsburgh is, they've been winning games, but they've all been pretty close games. So yeah. We'll see how they do tonight against.
I assume they'll do the same as Pittsburgh every year. They'll win like 9 games, yep. Make the playoffs, lose early in the playoffs.
Probably.
On we go.
Probably fits right now anyway. Kevin, how about that, man? Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah, what happened?
We saw that coming, didn't we? You kind of did.
I did say Fresno's a fraud.
Yep.
I thought they were a fake. What were they, 5-1?
5-1. Won 5 in a row, right?
Yeah, I thought that was fake. They hadn't really beat anyone good except Hawaii. Credit to them there. But otherwise had beat bad teams and not even by much. So I thought they were fake. I thought EJ Werner would be wild. And he was. I didn't think he'd be to that level. But obviously, anyone that claims that they saw that result coming, I think that's the most complete game CSU has played in the Jay Norvell era, especially when you consider, yes, I just said Fresno's a fraud, but fraud of a good team. I mean, they're still a pretty solid squad.
Yeah.
So it's not like they beat up on, it's not like Utah Tech or something.
EJ Werner is like, he's not a bad quarterback, but when he's off, he's off.
Yeah, I mean, his interception numbers, it's kind of crazy. He's good enough that he continues to get and keep a job, but reckless enough that he's never going to be elite. And he's thrown like 60 interceptions in his college career or something crazy.
Three of them against Colorado State on Friday.
Plus a fumble.
He just didn't, like, there were times where it just looked like his receiver and they were on a different playbook.
It was like, one was reading the playbook in English, the other was reading the playbook in Spanish, and they were not. The Google Translate was not working on connecting those.
All right, so here's where I am on this, Kevin. I think the Rams. I think they could. Obviously, that's a season saving game.
Yeah,
maybe a career saving game. I know it sounds like a real obvious, but 35 carries and only 18 passing attempts. I know they had a lead. They got up early, but I just feel like it's obvious. Like that's the ticket. They got three stud running backs. You put out the availability
report.
Yep, four running backs. That's exciting. I think that's the ticket. They run the ball like that, they're going to win a handful of games, and maybe we're talking about Jay Norvell sticking with CSU next year.
Yeah, I think Friday was the blueprint game. This is how CSU wins. You create some turnovers. Now, can you count four every week? No. But you count on creating, you know, discomfort.
Yeah.
And then offensively, you have a lot of great running backs, run the ball well, and then pick and choose your spots to pass well. Because Brousseau's yardage, what was it, like 144, nothing huge.
Yeah.
But the timeliness, I mean, you had the wheel route to Kennard. You had two touchdowns to Rocky Beers, but especially that second one, the kind of dot heading toward the corner of the end zone. You don't need, you know, 350 yards to have a good passing game. And he had a very good passing game, even though the total yardage wasn't good. So I think this is the blueprint. Now, it helps when you get up early, like you say. Fresno had to be one-dimensional passing because they were way behind, and vice versa. CSU could kind of just run the ball because they had a big lead. But this is the blueprint. CSU's best group is running backs. Run well with them and pick your spots in the passing game.
Do you think that they, like, obviously they want to win. Jay Norvell is coaching for his job. Is it as simple as, we're just going to do that. We're going to make sure that those guys get to eat in this game against Hawaii.
Yeah, and I mean, they know that that's their best group. I mean, CSU staff has become, you know, pretty vocal and frankly frustration with the receiving group. That's just not great, to be blunt. And obviously your tight end, Rocky Beard, is playing really well, but you don't have the depth of tight end that you thought you would have since Jackson Warren's out. Your running backs are your best players. Use them.
Yeah.
And they are.
Every one of those guys, man. I mean, they're all coming up with big plays. Jalen Dupree, that guy runs really – they all run really hard. Lloyd Avant runs really hard. And Justin Marshall's that finesse guy. Yeah. If he can stay healthy, he's fun to watch.
What's fun is they have their skill sets complement each other really well. Dupree's kind of the hammer. He just trucks people, and he has some breakaway speed, but he is a physical runner. Vaughn is a little bit of a hybrid. He has a little bit of wiggle and shake to him, but he can run physically inside as well. He can also catch it a little bit. Good kick returner. Marshall, like you say, he's that quick cut. When he's healthy, I mean, that 73, whatever it was, yard touchdown run is what Marshall is at his best. He can be electric. And then Kennard, he's quick. Elusive. He's going to be good in the pass game. He's shown some flashes in the run game and some mammal carries. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him on special teams moving forward as well. So it's just a great group there that complements each other well. And then it seems like they all get along really well, too. Norvell was saying that Avant and Dupree are like best friends. So, you know, that,
totally
that could become, you know, it could become a thing because they're all battling for, you know, carries, but it seems like they get along really well. And it's interesting to see. You know, Dupree got banged up early, so that's why he didn't really have many carries. Obviously, Marshall was going well, too, so that was part of it. Then late in the game, Marshall goes down hurt, and it looked like Dupree was still in uniform, but, you know, you get the look. You can tell when a guy doesn't expect that they're coming back in, whether it's, you know, doctor choice or whatever. And Dupree had that, sort of just meandering the sidelines, but not in the subgroup. The second Marshall went down, Dupree basically went straight to retape me. I'm going back in because I have to go close this game out. And he did. So there's a mentality there. There's a reason Dupree was named a captain.
And you need them to be unselfish guys, too, because if they're all going to take turns getting carries, you just don't want that to be a riff in the locker room or anything or during practice.
No, it seems like it's the opposite, honestly.
Owen Long is... I think he's getting tackles right now.
Yeah,
as we're talking, he's tackling people.
Owen Long is, we talked about him in the preseason. We're like, he's going to be good. Did not see this. I mean, this is incredible. He is. So myself and Justin Michael, you know, friend of the show, talked to Tyson Summers, the defensive coordinator, on Tuesday, I guess it was. A little group interview there. We're talking about a lot of things. But one of them, of course, was Owen Long. And asked Summers, what's his ceiling? And he kind of shrugs. He goes, I don't know. I've never seen a player like this. He goes, I've had a lot of good linebackers, but I've never seen one play like this. So I can't tell you because I don't know what his ceiling is. Because he's saying he does everything. They can ask him to go and, you know, pressure quarterback. He does that. Drop in coverage does that. He can be a middle linebacker in a bear package. He can play different positions. He's all over the field. It's truly incredible.
It's fun to watch. 48 minutes. We'll get to what did we learn coming up next. Rams Weekly. We'll dive into all of this and, you know, how Kevin's feeling now about the season and Jay Norvell. Obviously, that's been the big topic of discussion. That was a big win for CSU. 48 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. What did we learn? Coming up next.
Tanner Schwintz. Good Morning NoCo is on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
On Thursdays, we turn to our friend Kevin Lytle, and we ask him what he learned. I learned this from our 303 texter that Owen Long's name is actually pronounced Brian Bosworth. Is he there yet? Is he Brian Bosworth? Is he Brian Urlacher?
Yeah, Brian Urlacher.
Pretty much. Ray Lewis.
Right there. Jay Norvell dropped the Ray Lewis name this week, but in reference to Robert Edmondson.
Okay.
And how he came in. They have a big hit award. Robert Edmondson won two of them, or multiple. I don't know. He had two big hits.
It was nice to see it from all this team. Kevin, what did you learn anything today about CSU that you didn't know before you woke up?
Not about CSU. I learned Hawaii is one of the best time of possession teams, even though they throw all the time, which is a rare, unique little thing. They're an interesting team.
We're going to find out what Kevin thinks is going to happen this weekend against Hawaii, another big test for Colorado State, because Hawaii's good.
Yeah, they're very good. And you know I'm a Alejandro fan. He's a quarterback.
It's fun to watch. 55 minutes after the hour, we got Rams Weekly coming up, presented by Miranda Simpson. I'll share with Kevin, too. We had a fun day on Monday with all the CSU players. That was a blast. There was one player that stood out to me, and I'm not sure how I feel about this, so I'm going to ask you your thoughts on this.
Intrigue. Better tune in for the next hour. I know I will.
And it's not necessarily a positive or negative. I'm just confused. I have confused feelings on this. And as long as Kevin promises not to pull a Nikola Joppa on Rams Weekly, he can stick around.
I can't dunk? Okay. I promise I won't.
Rams Weekly, coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.